OWC Radio number 35, a conversation with Peter Cohen. Hey everyone, this is Tim Robertson. This is OWC Radio. Hey, what was that music, right? You haven't heard that before. Well, there's a reason. That's brand new. That was awesome. I have to say my mind is blown right now. Let me tell you a little bit about that. If you have been listening to OWC Radio for at least the past 4 months, the name Nathan Timothy should be familiar with you. We had him on OWC Radio number 24, and that was in December of 2014. And he is the CEO of the songwriting charity. It's based in the UK. He is a machine. He writes music. He produces it. He works with the kids, as we talked about on that. Really, you should go back. If you did not hear that episode, go back, listen to episode number 24, OWC Radio, and you'll learn more about Nathan Timothy. Well, he's the guy who created that bit of music that I just played, and I got to be honest with you, I'm completely blown away. Thank you very much, Nathan Timothy, for that. I'm humbled. It really made my morning this morning when I first heard it, and I could not wait to start recording an episode of OWC Radio and share that with you guys, because it's just, that's amazing. I love it. Let's talk about what's going on. Well, last week, as I was mentioning on the last show, I was going to be at the McCall Conference, and that was in Cobo Arena, Detroit. OWC was there. We had a booth on the expo floor. We were there for a day and a half, and it was really a big success for us. We met a lot of great educators, administrators, technical people in the state of Michigan in education, and really starting to learn what their needs are and what they could use a lot of help in when it comes to Macs and iOS and Apple products and technology, and not just the classroom, but in a school district itself. Because let's be honest, there's more to a school district than just the classroom. And, you know, we had a great time there. We met some just terrific people, really did. And we look forward to being at McCall next year in 2016, when it will take place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I didn't realize that they rotated every other year. 1 year's in Detroit, the next year's in Grand Rapids. Now, this wasn't my personal first time going to the McCall Conference. I had been there before in Grand Rapids, but this was my first time in the Cobo Arena show in Detroit. And wow, it's an impressive group. They actually had over 1,500 more people than they were expecting. So when you hear about people saying online, you know, trade shows are dead and people don't go to them anymore, simply not true. I think they're more popular than they've ever been. I've gone to a lot of trade shows in 2014 and this year so far here in 2015. I see thousands and thousands and thousands of people at these trade shows, whether it's the NAMM, the NAMM show, where it's musicians and producers. That place was just packed in California when I was there in L.A., when I went to the Florida Education Show, that place was just, I couldn't believe how big it was. It was easily three times the size of the McCall Conference that I was just at. We're going to be at NAB in a couple weeks in Las Vegas, and I could see how many people are already registering and looking at how many people are posting on social media that are planning on attending. Now, the neat thing about the NAB show is OWC is going to debut our big booth there. And I know I talked about this last week on the show. It's coming together beautifully. I see our graphic department has finalized what the graphic look of, you know, the wallpapering, the carpeting, the signage. It's super impressive. It's going to look fantastic. I can't wait to see it in person. You know, that's different than seeing it on a 15 or 27 inch monitor and blowing it up and going, yeah, that looks really good. I know how good this is going to look in person, and I hope that you have the opportunity to come out to Las Vegas and see our booth in person. And if you're interested, we are actually giving a free code for free exhibit passes to the 2015 NAB show. All you have to do, and I'm going to put a link in to show notes number what is this, 35, OWC Radio number 35. I'm going to put a link to the blog post to get a special code for free exhibit passes for 2015. Now, NAB starts on the 11th, but the exhibit hall doesn't open until April 13th at the Las Vegas Convention Center. OWC is going to be there. We're going to be at booth SL13905. That's in the South Hall. So we really hope that you show up and come see us at the booth. You got to see some of the things that we're... I don't want to spoil what we're showing at the booth. For those who are going to be there, I want you to be able to experience it and see it for the first time and not have any preconceived notions of what you're going to see. Let me just say it's really going to be special. You're going to be able to get your hands on our products. If you've never looked at a Thunderbolt 2 device that we sell, the OWC Thunderbolt 2, that's going to be there. And you can get your hands on it and you'll think, wow, this thing's smaller. And look at all of these ports. It's smaller than I thought it would be. It's lighter than I thought it would be. It's just terrific industrial design. And look at all the expandability that this is going to afford me. So you can get your hands on that OWC Thunderbolt. Look, but here's the thing. If you know for a fact you want one, you need to pre-order it now. We're almost out of March. Once March is over, pre-orders is done. So beginning in April, the price is going to jump to $299. But if you pre-order it now, and shipping is going to be 1 to 2 weeks minimum, because we're selling a lot of these things, because people are looking at it and going, that's exactly what I've been waiting for. $249 right now. If you're interested in the Thunderbolt 2 dock, the OWC Thunderbolt 2 dock, now is the time. Pre-order it. You're going to save $50, $249. I can't stress that enough. It really is a really good deal. I mean, that's $50 off. How can you beat that? So don't wait till April. Pre-order now and get the discounted price. But if you come to NAB, you're the kind of person that wants to touch and feel and look at it in person before you make your mind up. That's where you're going to be able to see it next in person. NAB show for us, for the exhibit, starting on April 13th at the Las Vegas Convention Center. And again, we're going to get you free tickets, so it's not going to cost you anything other than, you know, your flight and a hotel. So it's been a crazy tech week for me. I've been having problems with my laptop, and it's kind of my own making. Tell me if this has happened to you. You forgot to plug in your MacBook, or your MacBook Pro, I should say, but you didn't actually turn it off. It's been in sleep mode, and you leave it in sleep mode for a while. That's what I did. Now, if this has never happened to you, let me explain how it works. You open it up, you plug it in, you go, oh, I need to charge this thing up. You plug it in, you open it up, and you get this gray screen, and you can almost see what your desktop should look like. It's kind of like a really heavy snowstorm where everything's just kind of grayed out, and you could see your desktop behind it, and it kind of wakes up and comes back to life. That's what my MacBook Pro was doing, and I don't know what happened. It was expecting some things to be plugged in, maybe my mobile pre-USB. I don't know. It was just freaking out. It wouldn't let me restart the machine. I couldn't quit some of the apps. Some of the apps were still working, like it allowed me to make a Skype call, but as soon as that call connected, Skype completely crashed. But yet, I could still continue to talk to the person I was talking with. Just weird, goofy stuff like that. Rebooted. It was still acting a little strange. I rebooted again and reset my PRAM, and everything works out well now. If you don't know how to reset your PRAM, hold down the Command, Option, R, and P as the machine starts, and you should get two chimes, and you're good to go. Let go of those keys. That resets the PRAM memory, and for me, that seems to have done the trick. This machine is now back to being as rock solid as it ever was before. And it's a weird thing. Just letting the battery die without actually shutting it off. The Mac doesn't like that. So keep that in mind. Most of the time I use my 27-inch iMac. But occasionally I forget to charge up my 15-inch MacBook Pro. And the reason for that is it gets such good battery life that sometimes I just don't even think about it until I glance up at the battery meter and go, ooh, I'm down to 10%. I should probably plug this thing in. And I think that's what happened last time, except I didn't plug it in. I just shut the lid. And, you know, shutting the lid doesn't turn off the machine. It just puts it to sleep. So keep that in mind the next time you may be having problems that, you know what, maybe I should do a restart, reset the pram. That does help. One of the things that my guest today, Peter Cohen, and I talk about is adware and malware on the Mac. This is really starting to become a pretty big problem. And I asked Peter, is this a consequence of the popularity of the Mac? And he said it absolutely is, and I have to agree. For longtime Mac users, we were used to not worrying about adware and malware and viruses and these type of things that really did was the bane of PC users' life. I mean, these were huge problems. And as somebody who was an IT director or IT manager at a pretty big company, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I saw a lot of, let's just call them problems that PC users would have. And not just a corporate environment, but home environment. It was terrible, some of the things that were going on, you know, these dastardly viruses people were getting. Into the 2000s, less virus, more malware. And now it's kind of morphed into this adware thing. And it's just, it's really bad for your computer. They literally can hijack your browser. And it's these people are making money off of you just browsing the internet by hijacking what you could see, some of the default settings. That's why it's called adware. So there's a financial incentive for these people to do this. And the reason that there's a financial incentive is because there's so many more Mac users. So really pay attention to when Peter and I start talking about the adware and the malware problem on the Mac. He has some really good links. I did put them into the show notes for OWC Radio number 35. It's definitely worth you checking out. And audit your Mac occasionally. Make sure that things are running the way they're supposed to be running. Make sure that your default search is what you have it set at. You know, if it's always been Google, and then all of a sudden you're going to ask.com anytime you search for something, well, you might have a problem. There might be a adware problem on your Mac. So really understand what's going on with your Mac. Don't take it for granted. None of us can anymore. It's just a wild west of bad things out there. And some of this is coming from very respectable companies like Oracle. Oracle comes out with a new Java update and it puts adware on your Mac. And people are going ballistic, and I think rightly so. And we have to be aware of this. You have to keep abreast on what's going on, what the dangers are. And a good way of doing that is going to a place like iMore.com, like Peter Cohen is a managing director of, or managing editor of Mac there, I should say. Our friends over at Macworld, they're still going strong on the website. And they're covering this. Apple World Today, AppleWorld.today, Steve Sandy, they're writing about stuff like this. And of course, the OWC blog itself, blog.macsales.com, where we will be covering this kind of information for you as well going forward. It's real important to know what's going on your Mac and protect yourself, because there are some bad guys out there that they're just going to want to get your stuff, and that's not cool at all. They want to hijack what you're doing on your machine. They want to make money off of your machine. That's just not cool. It really ticks me off. I'm really not happy with a company like Oracle that does this kind of thing. I think it's despicable. Is Oracle that broke that they need to install adware on my machine? It's terrible. I don't know. I don't know what else to do about it other than call them out publicly and say, stop doing this. Because unless there's a huge backlash, these companies are going to think, you know what, this is standard operating procedure. We can do this. And people don't care. Well, I think people do care. And I think the problem really is lack of education on the end user's part. So if you know other Mac users, fill them in on what's going on. Make sure that they're protected too. And speak out publicly against companies like Oracle. Send them an email. I did. I sent an email to Oracle. And let them know that this isn't kosher. This isn't cool. You can't just install adware on people's machine and sneak it in with a Java update. That's not cool. And it shouldn't be tolerated today. It just shouldn't. It never should have been tolerated, and it never was. But in today's day and age, 2015, for them to be doing this, it's disgusting. Anyways, I do have Peter Cohen, like I said, on this episode. Great conversation. I like Peter a lot. He's really fun to talk to. He's very much a no-nonsense kind of guy. I can respect that. And he went through a medical procedure, and we get into this towards the end of this episode. And I asked him before we actually started recording, could we talk about this? Because I found that the way he's talking about this publicly and what he's done and the procedure he went through and helping people online that ask questions and making himself available is very commendable. But I wanted to make sure that he was cool about talking about this on OWC Radio. He absolutely was cool about it. So again, thank you very much, Peter, for coming on this episode and discussing, which I think this is a very important topic. And just because this is a tech show doesn't mean we just ignore everything else. And he's a good guy to agree to do so. And again, thank you very much, Nathan Timothy, for the music at the beginning. And I'm also going to play, he sent me, was it 4 or 5? Let me check my Dropbox. The neat thing is he shared all these music clips with me via Dropbox. I think that's pretty cool. There's actually 6 different versions of basically the same jingle, if you will, the same song. And so I'm going to play it like I did at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to play a different version going from this segment to the next segment with my conversation with Peter Cohen. So again, thanks very much, Nathan Timothy. And if you guys haven't listened to that interview, it was episode number 24, December 12th, 2014. Make sure you're checking out www.macsales.com for all your Mac needs. If you've got a slow hard drive and you're thinking about upgrading to an SSD and maybe you're worried that it's a little bit out of your capabilities to do so, go to macsales.com, find the SSD that will work in your Mac, and we will have installation videos for your Mac. We'll show you step-by-step how to open your Mac, remove your old hard drive, or remove the optical drive if you want to go with 2 hard drives in your iMac, your Mac Mini, or your MacBook Pro. We'll show you how to install the data doubler, how to install the SSD, and your machine. I'm telling you, it's just amazing the difference between a standard hard drive and an SSD, especially for an older computer. It's night and day. You will have a brand new computer. You'll feel like someone replaced my computer with this. Everything is just so much faster. Launching applications, starting up, just everything is just, it's night and day. So if you don't have an SSD in your machine and your machine isn't too old, look, if you've got an old G4 or something, we can still probably help you. But yeah, if you've got a more recent machine, let's put it that way, put an SSD in there. It's just going to blow your mind. It really will. It's night and day. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this segment of OWC Radio, and I've got Peter Cohen coming up right now. And as I said earlier in the show, I have Peter Cohen. He, of course, has not been on OWC Radio since September of last year. A lot has changed, kind of, in the Apple universe since Peter was on the show. Of course, for those who don't know, Peter Cohen is the managing editor at iMore.com. Great work over there, by the way, Peter. I really like your stuff and what you guys are doing at iMore.
Thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate that very much.
You also work at an Apple specialist, and as such, you deal with Mac users pretty much every day that you go in and work. So I have to say, number one, thank you for helping Mac users. There's not enough people out there that do so. But more importantly, I kind of want to get your take. What's going on in the Mac universe right now with end users? What are the problems that you're seeing people having out there?
You know, I'm having a lot of car trouble this week. about 20 minutes before you and I started talking, I got off the phone with my mechanic, and my mechanic said, you know what, your transmission in your car is ruined, and the brakes are shot, and the suspension is screwed up too. And I did some quick little calculus in my head, and I said, okay, is it worth salvaging? And as soon as he threw out numbers at me and started telling me specifically, technically, what was wrong with the vehicle, I realized that I was getting in over my head. But I got the message. I got the message that it's more costly to fix than it is to just replace with something else.
Yeah, that happens.
That happens quite frequently to customers who come in the store. They'll come in with a 10-year-old Mac that all of a sudden doesn't work. And I'll have the heartbreaking news to tell them, sorry, this machine that you've lived with for the past decade is no longer functional. We can't even get the parts for it anymore because Apple doesn't make those parts. And even if we were able to get those parts, they would cost so much that you would be better off buying a new computer by the time we were done.
Yep.
So it's always weird being on one end or the other, and uncomfortable and vaguely gut-wrenching to be on, I think, either end of that conversation, whether you're the mechanic delivering the bad news to the guy with the busted van or whether you're the sales guy at an Apple specialist breaking the bad news to somebody who's got a PowerBook G4.
Well, you know, Mac users tend to get kind of attached to our computers, I think. And when they get to the point where it's just not economically feasible to keep them repaired and running, somebody has to give them the bad news. But the nice thing is Apple has a nice crop of computers out there for sale, brand new. Some of them at a very affordable prices. Some of them kind of pricey. The big news, of course, is that new MacBook. Do you have customers coming in asking about that yet? Hoping maybe you've got one that they can look at, which, of course, you don't because they haven't been released yet. But what's the customers out there? Are they saying anything about this new machine?
Yeah, sure. They're interested in it, at least those that stay up to date on the news. You know, the vast majority of people who come in the store, though, are muggles, as yeah. I like to think of them. They're not magic users. They're just regular, ordinary people. You know, they have these black boxes that they know do things that are important to them, like send email or show me photos or let me take photos or let me listen to music. And they have a vague understanding of how they work under the hood, but not really, you know, they're not power users. They're not people who read tech news. They're not people who pay any attention to what Apple is announcing or, you know, what apps are available in the App Store or whatever. They just know that they need to do things with these devices. Having said that, there are certainly enthusiasts who come in the store and they're like, wow, did you see the news yesterday? And are you going to have those on April 10th and stuff like that? So, you know, it's always entertaining and fun to have conversations with those customers because they're so engaged and they're so interested in what's going on. You know, you can have the same kind of discussions you're having with your colleagues when there aren't any customers in the store. It's a lot of fun.
So what do you think? Do you think this is going to be a big seller for Apple, that a lot of people are going to line up to get this new MacBook? Or do you think it's too limiting? I mean, it's basically a mobile processor in one port. Now, power users like me and you, that might not be appealing, but for a lot of other people.
Here's my analysis from 30,000 feet, for whatever it's worth. I think that Apple has a good thing going with the Macs that it's got now. I think that the Macs that it has now between the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro and the iMac, the Mac Mini, which everybody likes to forget about, which is a very important machine, and you know, the Mac Pro as well, you've got really solid machines, machines that appeal to PC users in increasing numbers from quarter to quarter. What is it, for the last 35 of the last 36 quarters?
Yeah.
Apple has consistently outsold the PC market and grown its market share accordingly. But it's a dwindling market. That's the problem. So Apple is faced with a basic conundrum. How do we sell computers to people who don't want one? And their solution is the MacBook. Their solution is the MacBook because it's the first MacBook that we've seen ever that carries the same kind of design fetishism that we've seen spread through Apple's other products like the iPhone and the iPad.
Yeah, the MacBook has always been the almost the bottom rung when it came to their portable line. It's always been that.
The MacBook in its previous incarnation, yes, but let's forget about that because this MacBook and that MacBook have nothing in common whatsoever. But it's fun to think about the last MacBook. I loved the last MacBook. And in fact, I've got two of the Polycarp 2009 models in my house.
They're good machines.
They're both working. One's got an SSD in it and 8 gigs of RAM. It is faster than the MacBook Air that I gave to my other kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a fast machine.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, you know, neither here nor there. This MacBook is going to, I think, call out to a new class of Mac customers who may have been very content with an iPad before, or and a PC, or may have just never really thought about buying, you know, a Mac computer for whatever reason. I am not scared of any of the quote-unquote limitations like the USB-C connector or anything like that. I think that's ridiculous. I think most people don't want to have to connect their device to anything. You know, I think that they're very happy, you know, having a device that's pretty much self-contained and able to talk wirelessly to everything.
And that's it will do that real well.
It will do that better than, you know, some of the other MacBooks.
Some people are saying that this is kind of Apple's answer to the netbook craze that kind of was big and then fizzled out and is pretty much gone at this point. Yeah, I don't personally see that, but you think it's ridiculous?
I think it's ridiculous to, yeah. I mean, why? Because it's little? Because it's got a Core-M processor? Okay. Yeah. No. First of all, let me say this for the record. I think that anybody who is comparing the performance of a MacBook, the new incarnation of the MacBook, let us wash our minds with the old polycarbonate models now,
right,
to like the 2-in-1 convertibles, like the Yoga and mm-hmm. stuff like that, are forgetting one important thing. And that is that this is Apple we're talking about.
Right.
The integration between the hardware and the software is going to be light years better than what Microsoft can manage on those convertible devices.
And we don't know what this performance of it is going to be until we actually get hands-on. We have no idea.
Yeah, you know, I get so irritated when I see people doing comparisons of PCs and Macs just because they happen to use Intel processors inside. You know, well, let's see what's better, the PC or the Mac. No, it doesn't work that way, because without looking at the way that OS X is integrated into the user experience of using a Macintosh, you're undervaluing what that brings to the table and how that changes the basic equation for the end user. You know, it's ridiculous to try to do those apples and oranges comparisons that I see all the time, and it irritates me to no end.
You know what's really cool is I follow a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook. We have a lot of the same friends and acquaintances. And it really cracks me up sometimes when I see somebody that has been using a Mac as long, if not longer, than I have, learn something new about it, and post it up on Twitter. And it tells me that even jaded old guys like us can still learn new things all of the time with our Macs.
And you've hit the nail on the head, and this is why I write what I write about. Because you called me managing editor. Thank you. I'm actually Mac managing editor of iMore. So I manage the Mac content on iMore. And what I find is that the people who I'm trying to write to on iMore are actually those folks that just don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, this stuff like other people do. I think it's very easy to talk to that crowd and get a distorted sense of how many people they are. The trick becomes, how do you reach out to them and how do you talk to them, those people who you are trying to reach, because they're not the sort of people who would come to iMore or listen to this podcast. To begin with, you know, it's a chicken and egg problem.
Well, Google's going to solve some of that problem. I mean, people are going to have questions, they're going to Google it, and your archives are going to come up with what you wrote about exactly that subject.
Good SEO is key, but I think the key to good SEO is just writing relevant stuff.
Absolutely. The one I was speaking of actually was Sean King, and he posted on Twitter. He had no idea that you can use the built-in search feature on the Mac to do conversions from meters to feet. And I didn't know that either until I saw his post. I tried it. And I was like, well, look at that. That's awesome. Well,
you don't remember Craig Federighi doing some calculations on the fly at the WWDC keynote last year?
Do you know how many keynotes you and I have watched?
I forgot. Fair point, Tim.
I forgot way more than I remember.
Fair point, my friend. Fair point.
But the thing is, after I tried it myself and saw it, it did ring a bell. I didn't remember that's where I saw it at, but I did remember that I remembered it at one point, if that makes sense. I went, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But that's the fun part about being a Mac user to me is I learn new stuff. I don't want to say every day, but it sure seems like I learn stuff every day that I had no idea what I could do on this machine. And let's be honest, for all the criticism people may be putting at the new MacBook that hasn't even been released yet, we don't use even a fraction of the potential of these computers.
Yeah, you know, kind of like our brain power, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it is a myth that they say we only use 10% of our brain function. The other parts are devoted to other aspects of being alive. So it's not like we're lacking the intelligence that we should have as a species, though that part of the brain is devoted to other things and storage. But
oh, stop taking my fun away from me.
Speaking of fun, what have you been working on lately?
Working on in what sense?
Well, you write about a lot of things about the Mac. What's coming up? Has anything lately been kind of like, this is really cool and I have to share this with people and it's not getting enough attention?
Yeah, you know, I think there's tons of stuff with the Mac that doesn't get enough attention, and it's simple stuff. It's stuff like using AirPlay and iTunes to set up a whole house audio system.
Yeah.
You know, very inexpensively, or streaming content just from your Mac to your Apple TV. You know, it's a lot of stuff that people don't necessarily know that you can do. So, you know, I'm uncovering new stuff like that all the time. I think, you know, for the future, what I can talk about as far as iMore is concerned is OS X server is going to play more into my Mac coverage going forward.
Why?
Because I think it's got some good uses. It's only $20. It's something that you can download from the Mac App Store.
Which is still crazy to me because you and I both remember what Mac OS server used to cost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you used to have to be able to write it off as a business expense in order to buy it. So OS X server is $20. It's handy to drop on even an entry-level Mac like a Mac Mini and be able to take over control of some of your life from the cloud. You know, and, you know, I think there's something to be said for self-reliance. I think that a lot of us continue to be mystified by, you know, how the technology works. And my goal is just to demystify it and show people, you know, what it does. So that's what I'm working on.
You've written a few articles in the past couple of weeks about malware on the Mac. Is this becoming a big issue?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely become a big issue. If I think I can draw statistically relevant information from the work at the retail store that I do. And I can tell you that every day we get customers coming to our service bench who have Macs that are infected with adware. You know, yeah. Adware is a pervasive problem on the Macintosh.
Well, the new Java update installs malware, and this is not like a small developer. This is Oracle.
This is Oracle that we're talking about, including adware. And, you know, what's the difference between adware and malware? My customer asked me last week, and I said adware is just malware with better lawyers.
Yeah, pretty much. I would agree with that. That's a good analogy.
You know, it's that's all it is. It's just the companies that are developing adware, the developers that are developing adware, just happen to, be much more effective at what they're doing because they're doing it right out in the open, and people don't understand how easy it is to get your browser hijacked. My son came downstairs with his Mac Mini after we built a PC for him. He wanted to get a gaming PC, and
yeah, you talked about this back in September.
Yeah, and he was finally done with his. His Mac Mini. So we did that a little earlier this year, and I did an audit of that thing. And I do an audit probably of all the computers in the house every 6 months or so. But in that 6 months, he had managed to get Genio and InstallMac on his computer, and those are both browser hijacking adware deployments.
Do you think this is just kind of the Mac is more popular than it's, you know, ever been because they keep selling more and more and more. Is this just the price we pay for the popularity of this platform now?
Yep. That's exactly the problem. I mean, you know, it was a security through obscurity for a long time.
Sure.
But in fairness to Apple, this is a pervasive problem on almost all computer platforms. You know, it's not
just Apple. No, absolutely. But for years and years, Mac users kind of pointed their finger at the PC users and go, ha ha, you guys have to worry about that. I never have to. Well, here we are in 2015 and, it's becoming an issue. I mean, if a site like iMore is writing about this multiple times in a month, people might want to start paying attention. And I don't think enough people are paying attention to this yet.
I don't think enough people are paying attention to it either, to be perfectly frank. I think that more attention needs to be paid for it, paid to it. And that's why I've been writing what I've been writing.
Well, I personally thank you for doing so, because when I hear stuff, you know, on the social media sites like, you know, Twitter, Facebook, when I see posts that's not necessarily directed at Otherworld Computing talking about malware on the Mac, I point to your articles. So
I've
steered people that way because, well, I think they need to know. And it's something that is, I think, only going to get worse. But is there any kind of protection out there that people can do? Is there any software that you can buy? Not, I don't know of any yet, but seems like it's going to be.
There's plenty. The thing that I recommend to almost everybody is install, is Adware Medic. If you Google Adware Medic, just download it, you know, and run it. It's good. Adware Medic is free software. It's donationware, really. So if you use it and it appeals to you or you find it useful, throw the developer a few bucks. You can decide what it's worth to you, which I think is a very fair way to distribute it. And it works on everything from Lion on. So as long as you have 10.7 or higher installed on your Mac, you can run it. If you're using 10.6 or lower, there's a free package out there called ClamXav, ClamXav. It's totally free software. There's no donation or anything that you have to make to use it. It's also good at finding deployments that will put adware on your machine. So either of those would be fine. There are certainly companies out there that make commercial software. Intego, for example, INTEGO, makes commercial antivirus software for the Mac and anti-malware software for the Mac. And most of the major antivirus companies also have some kind of Mac software that you can use. I don't think that most of us need to spend the money, unless they're in corporate environments where those specific packages are used, or unless they're dealing business with clients that have specific security restrictions, that might make sense. But for the vast majority of us, we can either use the donationware software AdMedic or the free software ClamXav and get as much protection as we really need.
I will have a link to both of those in show notes for OWC Radio number 35 for those who don't want to have to Google it and manually search for it, making sure you got the right version. Just go to blog.macsales.com, look for OWC Radio number 35. You'll find links to both of those.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm going to have to try it myself. I'm really cautious about downloading anything on my computer. I'm sure you are, too.
I am, but I've got Gatekeeper, you know, as part of OS 10 Yosemite. And, you know, everything since Mountain Lion has had, everything since 10.8 has had the Gatekeeper framework to make sure that you can only... the software on your computer is only able to work in one of three ways. Either you're only able to execute apps that you've got from the Mac App Store, or the Mac App Store and signed developers who have a digital certificate showing that they have a valid relationship with Apple as developers, or all apps. Now, if you've got your security setting in system preferences set to open all apps, that's probably a mistake unless you're a power user. You know, I wouldn't recommend that certainly for everyone.
And it's not turned off by default either.
People
shouldn't have to worry about that. You literally have to go in there, search it out. The average user is not going to figure out how to do this quickly. You're going to have to Google to figure it out. And, you know, it does give you kind of warnings like, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, to be wise when you're messing around with the security settings, you know, you might have to adjust them depending on what sort of software you want to run. You know, if you try to download I think the default setting in Yosemite on like a brand new computer is Mac App Store apps only.
It is.
And you actually have to override that to install apps like Firefox, for example, or, you know, download Google Chrome or what have you. So, you know, it's something that people run into before too long. If they start downloading third-party applications on their computer that they're not getting through the Mac App Store. So it's definitely something good to keep in mind. But yeah, being familiar with those settings and making sure that you only use software that's from developers with a valid certificate, I think is probably the best way to make sure that you're not going to get anything. But here's the thing. That alone doesn't protect you from having your browser hijacked. The way that malware works, it uses exploitabilities in web browsers, including Safari, to happen. So my recommendation for improving security there, if you will, is for people to download Chrome from Google, because Google has done something very special with Chrome, which is its web browser, which works natively in OS X and does a terrific job. Chrome actually sandboxes the Adobe Flash environment to stop that malware vector from affecting your Mac in its tracks. Yep. I think that that's a very smart thing to do. If you regularly hit websites that use Adobe Flash, and you'll know because on a brand new Macintosh installation, a brand new Mac won't run software or websites that require Flash software, because Flash software isn't installed on your Mac unless you download it.
That's right.
So, you know, Apple's done a lot to really protect things, but where things get a little screwed up is when people start installing Flash and then doing this, that, the other thing. That's where it gets a little bit more complicated, and people have to start thinking through these decisions and figuring out what the best thing to do is. So if you do use Flash, I recommend using Google Chrome.
Well, the nice thing about Chrome also is that you can have Flash only run when you click it. There's an advanced feature that turns off all plugins. And when the browser actually hits one of those plugins on a site, and I do this myself, you just get that big, this is not going to run. You click it. It says, hey, do you want this to run? You say yes. And then it will load that plugin, but only for that instance. So, for instance, I go to SportsCenter, and I want to watch a video there, and there's three ads on the side, and everything on that page uses Flash. But I only click the video that I want to watch. It does not load the Flash for the other side ad banner things. It's only for that video in that instance. And as soon as I'm gone, it turns it off again. Did you know about that feature? Settings, advanced, Chrome is just amazing what Google really gives you the power to do on that.
What's really interesting about it is that when you start messing around with Chrome settings, you realize that you're looking at actually a web page.
Yes. Absolutely.
As opposed to like a specific preference panel somewhere in an application local on your Macintosh, it's really kind of unsettling and eerie the first time you see it. So if you've never used Google Chrome and you start playing with the advanced features, it gets really weird looking really quickly. I don't know if Google's ever going to change that, but I wish that they would, because it's very un-Mac-like when it happens.
It is. But I think they do that for compatibility, because you can basically set your preferences and your advanced features globally. So it's not for just that Mac. If you've got two Macs, if you've got a PC, it actually sets everything. And I kind of like that global control from no matter where I'm at. And that is kind of Google's thing now, isn't it? With the Chromebooks, with, you know, if you log into Google, it tracks your movements across the entire web, whatever you're doing. It's kind of scary, but it's kind of convenient too. So it's a trade-off between your privacy and, you know, the content or the control over multiple devices. I don't know. It's a weird situation. I like it, but I don't like it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more.
I like the convenience, but, yeah, I don't know. The privacy thing always does kind of bother me.
You know, I think the privacy thing is unavoidable, though.
And I also don't think a lot of people nowadays worry too much about privacy. I mean...
Oh, gosh, I don't think that's true at all. I think people are terrified about it.
I don't know. I mean, as much control as people give up, and as much information as they put out there about themselves, it's hard to say one way or another to me. Do they really care about privacy, or do they not realize that the level of privacy they're giving up by putting all this information out there on the web?
Yeah, no, it's true.
I don't know. Let's talk about something real personal here before we wrap up, Peter. Because,
oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
As your friend on Facebook and Twitter and all that, I've seen that you had a medical procedure done. and you've given updates on those. And I thought, you know, maybe somebody listening to this podcast, you might be able to inspire somebody that might need this procedure as well and can give us some information on it.
Yeah, you might recognize me as Quato from the 1980s sci-fi flick, Total Recall. No, just kidding.
That was him.
Yeah, there we go.
Still gets royalty checks.
Yeah, that's true. So they're not as big as they used to be, let me tell you.
Well, there was a remake.
Yeah, that's true. Colin Farrell went and ruined everything for us. Anyway, that was a Colin Farrell movie, wasn't it?
I'm seeing his face in the remake, so yeah, I think it was.
I don't know. If the fact that I actually spent time watching it at some point on cable TV terrifies me. Anyway, so I've been like a heavyset man most of my life, and I've been morbidly obese for about the past decade. I started working from home back in 1998 and put on a lot of weight in the years after that because I just went to a completely sedentary lifestyle where I was working from, you know, a keyboard and a desk that was sort of at one point crammed into my bedroom and then, you know, got an office later. But still, you know, just sitting all the time had its effect on my body. And I was a big man to begin with. So, you know, the added weight gave me diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. You know, I became a classic fat American bastard, you know, just very unhealthy lifestyle and very sedentary and, heading towards one of those little, scooters that you see in Walmart all the time.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, in 2012, by 2012, I had developed neuropathy in my feet, which is a condition that happens to diabetics sometimes. And what happens is, in your peripheral extremities, like your hand and feet, you lose sensation. Something goes wrong with the nerves, and that never comes back. If you stop being diabetic, it doesn't get any better. It's always there. So it's kind of like being Adam Sandler in that dumb movie Mr. Deeds back in the day, where he's got frostbite-bitten feet.
Yeah.
You know, I got into a fight with a vacuum cleaner and lost because the vacuum cleaner's killing move was to jam a piece of plastic into the bottom of my foot that I neither saw nor felt until my foot swelled up like a football and turned Ouch. A very angry red color. So my wife insisted that I go to the emergency room, and I did. And this is in 2012, and I had to get my foot cut open, and I had to have a chest IV put in, and that stayed for a couple of months. I'm making a long story unbearable. I was incredibly unhealthy. I knew if I didn't do something, I was going to die. So in 2014, I enrolled in a weight loss program through a local hospital to me called Toby Hospital, South Coast. The South Coast group is what they're part of, and they have a bariatric weight loss program that is stomach stapling. You know, it's gastric bypass.
Sure, we've all heard about it, but you know, maybe some people don't really consider that. They think it's an invasive surgery.
It is. But you know, here's the interesting thing. Statistically, it's actually less risky than having a gallbladder removed. That's what I found out through the course of doing some research.
And let's be honest, it's also less risky by not doing anything.
Well, there was no question that I was going to die of a stroke or a heart attack or another serious blood infection or something else, you know, within 10, 20 years, maybe. And my quality of life was just going to suck.
Yeah.
Point blank. So, I ended up doing it last November. I've lost about 70 pounds since then.
It's amazing.
I've had a few complications here and there, but nothing that would make me regret the procedure that I had. It's been absolutely life-changing for me, and I've been very happy with it. It's been a process. You know, you can't eat for a long time. You can't have anything but liquid for a while. You can't eat anything solid for a while. And as you reintroduce food, you've got to go very slowly in terms of what you can eat, and you have to eat very slowly as well. So it's been a whole process of sort of re-engaging myself, not only with food, but also with physical activity. And, you know, they take a very, at the program that I'm part of, a very holistic approach to it. Make sure that your mind is ready for this, that your body is ready for it, and that your spirit is ready for it, if you will.
What do you do not to relapse back into the bad habits that got you that caused the problems in the first place? Is it? Did you have to kind of change yourself?
Yeah, it's very psychological. A lot of it is mindful eating. A lot of it is having a better mind-body awareness when you're actually putting food into your body. What am I doing right now, and why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. Am I doing it to sustain myself, or am I doing it for pleasure? Am I doing it because I'm having trouble processing another emotion or crisis that I have to deal with right now, and it's making me uncomfortable? And when you can get inside that, you find out, like, I was a very emotional eater. You know, I ate because I was frustrated. I ate because I was angry. I ate because I was sad. I ate for a lot of negative reasons. I worked with a psychologist as part of this program to understand that a little bit better and to become a little bit more comfortable with having those emotions and knowing what to do with them in a constructive way. So, you know, I certainly don't expect anybody to have any sympathy for me because of that or anything like that. But, you know, we all find ourselves in these situations for different reasons. And trying to understand my reasons for being in that situation ended up helping me find the path to getting through it. And now I'm happier and healthier than I've ever been. My wife complimented me the other day. She put her arms around me and she said, "You're much easier to hug now because I can actually put my arms around you."
Yeah.
You know, before it was like she was throwing herself at a grizzly bear.
Well, I could say, you know, I've known you for a number of years. I haven't seen you in person all that often, maybe four or five times at the Macworld Expos back in the day. But I saw a recent picture of you and I actually commented that, holy crap, I mean, you look different. You look a lot thinner than I remember Peter Cohen looking. It's an amazing transformation. And
thank
if
you.
Sharing that here on OWC Radio helps even one person, thank you for sharing that.
Well, look, if anybody has any questions at all, I'm an open book about this stuff. I talk about it on all my social media streams. So find me on Twitter. My address is Flarg, FLARGH on Twitter, at Flarg. As a matter of fact, it's Flarg on most of the social things. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about this or anything else that we've talked about. I'm an open book, and I'm really happy to have communication with anybody who's interested.
And like the other links that we talked about earlier for AdMedic and Clam AV. Is it Clam or Claim? Clam.
Clam.
Now, is it one word? Clam-AV?
Clam-AV. Clam-XAV.
I don't know why I can never say that.
it's your Midwestern speech impediment.
Yeah, it probably is. You're probably right on the button about that.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
Because I'm an East Coaster.
So I'm going to put links to everything Peter's doing online. I'll put a link to his Twitter, to the iMore. And again, if you have questions and you don't want to ask a family member or you don't have a regular doctor and you just kind of want to get some personal advice on going through a procedure and what it was really like, hit him up. He's out there. And this is important stuff. Don't put it off. You know, you only get your health once. Once you lose it, it's gone forever because you don't get to come back. So, and we want you here.
Well, speak for yourself, buddy, but no, just kidding. You know, absolutely. You know, I think it's incredibly important that people stay aware of stuff like this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if I can do anything for anyone, I seriously don't hesitate to let me know. I'm more than happy to talk to you. I've actually talked to a whole bunch of people already ever since I started talking about the surgery. I've gotten a lot of interest. A friend of mine, another colleague in the industry, has recently gone through it as well. So I'm very proud of him and his wife. And it's very exciting to talk about. So I am happy to talk about this or problems with the Mac or whatever.
Well, you know, it's commendable to put yourself out there like that, to do the procedure. You know, you've got a wife, you've got kids, you definitely have things to live for, to recognize that this problem was an actual problem and not something you can just ignore, to do something about it and then talk publicly about it. I commend you for that, man. That's not an easy thing for some people. And you know, you've always kind of put yourself out there, so thank you for putting yourself out there on this as well.
Oh, cut it out, Tim. Now I'm making you blush.
So if you want to learn more about Peter and what he's doing, and definitely check out iMore. The stuff that he's writing is just fantastic. If you're a Mac user, really, you should be bookmarking the page and checking it out.
all the time. And if you're not a Mac user,
yeah, buy
what's
one.
Your problem?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for being here, Peter. I really do appreciate it. And we'll have to have you on again soon.
I would love to anytime, Tim. Thank you, OWC podcast listeners, for listening to me blather. I'm very delighted to be with you today.
We'll be back in, like I said earlier, 1 week. And again, don't forget, we will be at the NAB show, and we're going to be posting a lot of stuff up on social media. Make sure you go to our blog, by the way, because if you want free tickets to the NAB show, go to blog.macsales.com. There's instructions on how to get a free pass to get into NAB. If you're into the broadcasting industry at all, NAB is a must-go-to show in Las Vegas. It's absolutely amazing. And, of course, we're going to have a booth there. So with that, we're going to wrap up OWC Radio number 35. See you in a week.